Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hear what God has to say to you this morning. When Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen since I haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God." Then Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be with me, just as you have said." Then the angel left her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank our sister in Christ for sharing those good words. Reverend Sharon Robertson joins us. She's a retired United Methodist pastor. And I think as you heard her, you could tell that she was from southern Pennsylvania. So I was grateful. Thank you, my friend. Thank you so much for adding to the celebration this morning. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for how you guide us. Thank you for your words, how they deepen us. And thank you for your grace that guides us on the path that you set before us. We offer ourselves once again as your people. And we do so in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. You know, I have found that it is important to look for the blessings in life, isn't it? Sometimes you're surprised and by the blessings that God gives you, and sometimes there's a blessing that you don't really expect to find. And sometimes it's sitting right on your chair that you use in worship. So I'm going to show you what this is. You're wondering what this is in my hands right now. It's not a snake. Don't worry about that. It's not anything that's going to pop out at you. But as your pastor seeks to not only keep a nice sheen on top so that he can be recognized during concerts and things like that, he also tries to keep a nice sheen on his shoes too, you know? And some people have even commented on that. But there is a brother in Christ in this congregation that is the best shoe shiner that I have ever seen in my entire life. He also happens to be a retired college president. I don't know if there's any correlation, but he is fantastic. And he's commented to me that while the shoes look nice, the soles need a little bit of work, you know, around the edge. So he put edge dressing on my shoe here. So I promise you that on Christmas Day, the pastor's soul will be taken care of. No question about it. Thank you. It was a long way about to get to the point, wasn't it? But that's okay. Thank you for sticking with me on that one. You know, we, especially at this time of year, we talk about putting on our Christmas best, if you will. There are people that have competitions that light up their homes. you know. There are also, and I found this out, and this is a wonderful thing. This is such a cool thing for me and for Judy and I to see, that in the foothills, there are people that have competitions to light up their ATVs also. Did you know that? I've never seen so many lights on an ATV. It's like some sort of alien spaceship is traveling through the foothills, and they have all sorts of different designs and flashing and things like that. Well, the lights are flashing, I should say. Let me go ahead and correct myself there. Through the foothills. It's a whole other kind of parade. But and it's a wonderful thing, and it's an amazing thing that goes on. And yet, while lights are a part of all of that, you know, shining up and getting ready for Christmas and putting our best face forward, we have to understand that as we're about to Christmas Day, and as we have four Advent candles lit, it's fourth Sunday of Advent, therefore, and we continue to get closer and closer to really celebrating the birthing of Christ, the birthing of God's grace in the most powerful form ever, the birthing of God's love in the most dramatic way that the earth has ever seen. We get closer and closer to it. It's not really about what's on the outside, but it's about what is taking place on the inside. Transformative presence of God in us. God's grace, God stretching us at times, God challenging us, God molding us. All of those ideas or images are biblical, and especially whenever we think about God as potter molding us, certainly there's some very clear imagery in the Bible. But how have you felt God's presence at work in you on this Advent journey? Because, you know, Advent is all about God. It's not really about what we can do, but it's about what God is doing in our little corner of the world. Advent, breaking in, an indwelling of God, coming in, changing how we see things, changing how we see ourselves, changing how we experience the God of all creation. Mary. This Sunday, we light the pink candle. One of the scripture passages is the Magnificat, Mary's song that she sings after the scripture passage that was shared this morning. It is one of those songs that is remarkable. And as we have musical talent here, certainly, to hear Mary sing her song of praise, glorifying God, is truly a remarkable indwelling of God's presence in one of His children. And these are the reasons why. Mary, a teenager, a young teenager, probably 12 years old. Mary, living in an era in history whenever women and certainly girls had very few rights. Mary, living in a very dark time in history, under occupation by brutal occupiers, the Roman army. Mary, living in a little backwater corner of the world. And yet, remarkably, it was her, not the most shiny and polished of God's people, of God's children, of God's creation, that God chose to use and work through. It was Mary who God chose and sent the messenger angel Gabriel to speak to and say, "Most favored one." Isn't that great? Favored one. It's good to be favored, isn't it? It's good to be liked, but this is different. This communicates a chosenness. This communicates that God has been doing something in this unlikely choice. God has been doing something in this seemingly unremarkable person to prepare to change the world and all of creation. As we understand Advent as a birthing of God in us anew and that coming out of us, God is literally birthed through Mary, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. God incarnate, God in human form, is birthed out of Mary. God does something different and changes the rules forever. You understand that? That has happened. And we remember it today. And we remember it on this Advent journey in 2011. But there's more to the story. Translators have said that favored one can also be translated as happy one. And I'd like to look at that just for a moment. We can be happy about a lot of different things, correct? And whenever you get or you find, perhaps in your office, perhaps it's a church office, and you're a United Methodist pastor, and you come in and you find an offering, a beautiful, glorious offering of fresh baked cookies, and it's waiting there for you in your office. And the angels are singing, and you say, No, you don't do that whole thing. You don't have to do that. But you see a particular cookie that you really like. Oh, and you pop it in your mouth, and maybe you put the whole thing in your mouth at once. You have a really big mouth, and you know, you just chomp it down, and crumbs are running down, and oh, you wipe it off, and somebody comes in your office right then. You got powdered sugar all over, so it's a giveaway. And they know what you've been doing, and you say, "Well, can I help you?" You know, you're trying to get through to them. That's happiness, okay? That's happiness. Joy is something else altogether. Happiness is something that we seek after and we run after. And sometimes we find ourselves running in place, or running in slow motion, seemingly not getting anywhere, seeking some sort of happiness in our lives. Joy is something that only comes from God. Joy is something that only comes from God. So I believe that what was communicated here at the very beginning of this annunciation, this announcement of God doing something more to Mary, is a communication that God has placed joy in you, Mary. And because you have that joy, it doesn't matter what circumstances you find yourself in. Mary, because you have that joy, it doesn't matter where you find yourself. Mary, because you have that joy, God will continue to be at work in you. Oh, favored one, happy one, joy-filled one, joy-full one. When the comment comes, how can it be? How can this be? And each of us has uttered those words in some form or other. How can it be that this diagnosis came? How can it be that that person died so suddenly? How can it be that I've lost my job? How can it be that these things that I didn't plan for have happened, are taking place? How can it be? Whenever we open ourselves to the indwelling of God, whenever we see the candles lit, whenever we understand that it is the light of the world that is at work in us, not about us, but God working through us, then no matter what we have that question asking about, whatever challenges are coming our way, wherever we are experiencing darkness in our lives, we can still have a joy that allows us to be completely open to the God of grace and change and power. See, it doesn't mean it. Our circumstances are not what define us. And they didn't define Mary. What defines us is God. And that's what defined Mary as well. It's a story that I shared in first service, and it references the bridge over the River Kwai. Some of you maybe have seen that movie. It tells the story of British prisoners of war during World War II, and they were held in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in northern Burma, and they were also forced into heavy, difficult manual labor. Ernest Gordon, who happened to be one of those prisoners, who was a theologian and preacher, and later became the chaplain at Yale, a divinity school, wrote a book called Through the River of Kwai, which told another side of the degradation and the desolation experienced by those impoverished prisoners. This book tells how those in the camp interacted with one another. When these young soldiers realized that they were going to be there for a while, they began to have Bible studies and prayed diligently that they could be delivered from their present circumstances. You see, they did not allow their circumstances to define who they were. They continued to hold on, even if it was the last thread, to God defining them. It continues, though. Reverend Gordon says, "We knew that the thrust of our praying was to be delivered from this prison camp, and that was it. Deliver me, God, from this hellhole." Our praying was shallow and superficial, and we were railing against God for letting us be here. And this is where the joy starts creeping in. Not just my will, Father, only thy will. Thy will be done. But something happened to us, and that kind of railing against God disappeared. It vanished. It was no longer anger at God. And we began to move toward a more mature faith. We began to pray about how we could relate to one another in those bad situations. Can you imagine? No longer was it, "Why, God?" But it was, "How should we act, God? How should we act?" Gordon said the most spiritual moment of his life was Christmas 1944. Out of deference to the men in the camp, they were not given work detail that day and were given a bit more food. He said that as they moved around the prison yard, they sensed that things were different. In one of the barracks, basically a thatched hut with a dirt floor and open sides where the men slept, one soldier began to sing a Christmas carol. It was echoed over the infirmary where men lay dying. Then all around the camp, the men began to sing. And those who could, those who were ambulatory, came to the parade field and sat there in a great circle. Gordon said, "God touched us that day." He continues by saying that it was the most sacred event that he had ever been involved with. No preaching, nothing of the usual church paraphernalia, just men united by their common misery, singing of God being with them and God's sovereignty. And he said, "We were touched by God." Christmas became real to him when he was touched by God in the surprising place of a Japanese prisoner of war camp in northern Burma. Seemingly hopeless, seemingly a place where God could not dwell and reside, God worked in a whole new way and in a dramatic and powerful way. that to this day touches people, because now we know that story of a man whose life was changed in an unusual way, in unlikely circumstances, by a God who is inescapable. From peasant girl to prophet, from Mary to mother of God, from denial to discipleship, indeed, my friends, this is what Advent is about. Mary's story moves us all towards this conclusion that God is not finished with us yet and will never be finished with us yet, and continues to approach us and speak to us and churn in us to this very day and beyond. How can it be? Because nothing is impossible for God. How are we open to that gift of joy? God's abiding in us, never leaving us, working in us. How are we open to receiving that joy today? And then to be able to live in that joy, not always happy maybe, but knowing that no matter what the circumstances and challenges, God is with us each and every breath. I invite you, in our time of discipleship right now, to ponder how it is that we are receiving that joy. And if you aren't open to receiving that joy, how God is calling you today to be open, to be blessed, to be filled. Whatever it is that you're carrying, whatever challenges. If you're in a dark place right now, you sense that, you feel that, you feel like you're isolated. Know that you aren't. Know that God knows your name and loves you more intimately than you can imagine. Know that God seeks to be abiding in you and is calling you as well as a favored one, as someone that he seeks to work in, dwell in, and be birthed out of in Christ-centered ways. I ask you to be with me in a time of prayer right now as we open ourselves to God dwelling in us more fully.